Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths.
Is this our first Crisis?
I think
have I forgotten one?
First
I think
Crisis.
So.
And yeah. I think it might be the only Crisis we cover? Like, under the name Crisis.
Okay.
So, yes, as you might have heard, we have a special guest with us today. So joining us from New Zealand, we have Jordan.
Yep. What's up?
Hi.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Thank you calling in at 9 o'clock at night.
It is currently 9 o'clock. Yeah, 9 o'clock at night. Yep.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Time zones are wild.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Different stuff.
Because that's what was the? Oh, it was the Defenders podcast. I ended up recording at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night when I appeared on that. Because most of the people on that were American, so.
Americans harder to work with.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, well, it's true because like the Australia and New Zealand, I tend to find like I can either do the night before for them or the night after for them. Whereas like Americans, it's always like that bang in the middle of that, and it can like it's
the middle
hard
of the day is the worst time to like different structures and stuff like this.
Yeah,
it can be pretty tricky.
Yeah.
So.
Indeed.
So you actually requested Crisis on Two Earths, because when we originally contacted you, I think it was, we were just about to do Green Lantern, which we did about a month ago now, and I think it was Rebecca said, oh no, he said, no, he wants to do Crisis on Two Earths.
It was nice to have someone actually, like, I was more amazed that he knew what order they came in.
I don't know. I just know the stuff, you know.
It's great because I really don't. So
I do. Well, that's because I've got a spreadsheet planning.
I've got your spreadsheet, but I have to look at it.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah, well, it's a spreadsheet for the podcast, so like with the dates on and stuff like that. So for people like me, you have to keep track.
Yeah.
So I have to go, but I have to like refer to it. So I was just really impressed that you kind of knew exactly which one was.
Yeah, no, that's just my dumb memory filling up with stupid information that's never helpful. Well, I guess in this instance, it was helpful.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually very helpful.
Sorry, I did request this one because this is probably my favorite of these movies, maybe.
Oh, nice.
I just really like this one for reasons we'll dig into.
It's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it as well.
So did I. Like, go on, just to keep you off your edge, I enjoyed it.
So
don't expect too many differing opinions.
So Crisis on Two Earths was released on February 23rd, 2010. It was originally it's an adaptation of an earlier planned director video film called Justice League Worlds Collide.
Yeah.
Which was meant to be the join between Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Indeed. And so that's really interesting, like there's so much stuff in this that is kind of indicating it, that like how they're building the new satellite and they're kind of bringing in different heroes and stuff.
So
it was meant to be like, you know, the kind of cross between JL and then JLU. And then like they just kind of kept the script around for ages because Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett just like really liked it. Because like, you know, Dwayne McDuffie is like great. So like, okay, well, we'll just keep this around. And they just kind of reconfigured it to make it one of these direct video movies.
And then it's directed by Lauren Montgomery and Sam Liu, who directed between them last three, Wonder Woman, First Flight, and Public Enemies were all directed by one or the other.
They were all alright.
And as you mentioned, it was written by Dwayne McDuffie.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think one of the reasons it might not have been used is I think it crossed over quite... There's a degree of crossover with the Justice Lords.
Yes, they kind of adapted.
Wait a second,
what's the Justice Lords? So the Justice Lords were a two-part arc in the initial Justice League series, which was basically the same concept of like an evil Justice League. But instead of like where they were just straight up evil versions of the other characters, they were the same versions, just a little bit more in the future, to the point where they were kind of, they just made some decisions and they kind of became tyrants. So in that way, it was a little bit more interesting. And that was really cool because they kind of like played more into Justice League Unlimited. So they were kind of on it. They were always like, oh, we're kind of getting close to becoming like the Justice Lords and stuff. Well, so I can see why they didn't go through with it because it's quite similar.
I mean, it's even to the point where, for example, the Question in Justice League Unlimited, the Question tries to kill Lex Luthor because he figures that will stop the Justice Lords from happening. And it was stuff like, for example, it's one of these things, it's like Flash dies and that, you know, it's, you can see how maybe that could have inspired Injustice. Well, a hero dies and that causes the Justice League to kind of go a bit more totalitarian. Anyway, the start of the movie is a bit confusing because it's Lex Luthor and Joker breaking into a vault.
Do you mean Jester? The Jester is so different.
Yes.
Totally not the same person. And it's kind of weird seeing him as like a heroic character because like just his design and whole like aesthetic is just so very villainous. It's just weird seeing him as a heroic character.
It's very, very hard to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, literally, it's until Jester sacrifices himself, you're kind of going, well, is this meant to be a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah. Which I think is like the whole point of that kind of setup at the start, right? Where they're kind of like breaking in. It's very seems like it's kind of like a heist situation, and then you don't really see the Justice League quote unquote flying above them. I think it's done quite well where it kind of sets
I thought it was quite a good little setup.
Yeah. And one thing that does happen is that Jed Jarkus and Angelique, which I just put down as Hawk Girl because they don't give her any dialogue, any explanation of who she is.
Yeah. She's just Hawk Girl, but she's got, like, a flaming sword. Yeah. Because it's what it's called to have a flaming sword.
And So they get killed and then have Luthor escaping to an alternative Earth from the crime syndicate, which is Ultraman, who's Superman with eyeliner.
Yeah, right? I like the evil with eyeliner.
I love how he talks like a mob boss. Like, I just really love that detail. It's so good.
Yeah. Superwoman, who it's not quite clear what origin she's got, but she's...
She, in the comics, or in the comics that this is based off, which is more kind of closer to Earth 2, like with Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, she was Themyscirian, but kind of... She isn't Diana, but she's kind of from the same ilk, I guess.
Power Ring, who is still a Green Lantern, which I thought Green Lantern were meant to be the cops, so...
It's kind of weird in this movie in particular how he's called Power Ring, because he does actually have a power ring. He's got like a weird gauntlet thing. Like it's not an actual ring. He kind of has it over his hand.
Yeah.
It's just a weird design thing. I mean, but
like having strong willpower doesn't necessarily mean you're good. And like, you know, let's face it, he is a cop.
Of course.
We got back to that again.
No. Okay. Moving swiftly on. He also has a mullet, so.
It's the eyeliner. So you know he's evil. Clearly evil.
Yeah. Johnny Quick.
I'm surprised they didn't fully dress the Diana analog to show you know, like, she was also evil by not showing you her skin.
Yeah.
I think Power Ring is also interesting because he's the only member of the crime syndicate that shares a voice actor with his Justice League analog.
Oh, that is like, cool. They're both voiced by Nolan North. That would have been fun. Oh, but Nolan North has the capacity to do that, so that's fair.
Yeah, he's good at shifting into a lot of roles. But I just thought that was interesting.
No, that definitely is interesting.
I don't have to root for a character voiced by James Woods. Johnny Quick, who's Cockney Flash.
Is he Cockney or is he Australian?
No, No, it's definitely supposed to be British.
Okay. I'm very bad at telling accents.
No, I think it's funny because, like, of course, we all come at accents from a different... You forget sometimes that everyone comes at accents from a different point. No, yeah. It's definitely just not a very good Cockney
and
accent.
And also... Most Australian accents in media sound like Cockney accents.
Yeah,
like
they're
just so exaggerated.
Yeah, exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Yep. And finally, Owlman, who's voiced by James Woods and is unsurprisingly probably the most evil of the lot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Luffy gets away and mm-hmm. hands himself over to the police.
Yeah, that's naked.
This is a little bit of a diversion from that show that's definitely not in the DCAU, because if this is supposed to be set between Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, this is when Luthor was, like, campaigning to be president, like, he's going into, like, politics.
Okay.
He's, like, an active criminal, and he's in prison, and everyone's scared of him and stuff, which is still a fun detail. Like, I love how he goes into the police station, he's like, oh, I'll blow up the world, is that sufficient enough for you?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know. I'll blow up the world. Why not?
guess I'm a villain in this.
Yes. So, yeah, that's him figuring out, okay, in this universe, I'm a bad guy. Sure thing.
Yeah.
The title card's quite good as well. I know that they reuse this theme for Justice League Doom, or adapt it for Justice League Doom, so it's...
Yeah.
I do like this
theme. Doom is kind of a sequel to this one somewhat, where the same art style, which is done by Phil Barossa, and kind of like the same kind of writing and team and stuff, but yeah. Different voice actors, and which actually the voice actors for Doom is the same voice actors as the DC Animated Universe, whereas this is all a completely new cast, which is kind of interesting how they
have the one that was supposed to be Barry DCAU. Allen, I think, is the Flash in that one.
Yeah, I think that one is Barry.
For no explicable reason.
Which is weird. Sometimes I just switch out Barry and Wally for no reason. Which
doesn't everyone? Really I come at this as a pretty DC new person. Mm-hmm. Like I find it very confusing, and I know I've got some of the Flash comics set aside to read to deal with that, but I find it very confusing.
Yeah, I think what that is that just since. When Geoff Johns brought back Barry, they were just like, well, people liked Wally, so we'll just give Barry some of Wally's personality.
Yeah,
so
he's there's a little bit of,
Yeah, for the most part. But I think he can be done quite well. I think, like, Barry and stuff like Young Justice, like, that show is quite a good Barry. Like, Barry is less kind of funny and charming in the way that Wally is. He's more kind of goofy and, like, he's got, like, dad humor more than he is, like, actually good kind of quips like Spider-Man or something.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know, I'll be honest, my only kind of experience of the difference is the CW show, so.
Mm-hmm.
After being picked up by Superman in the bath, Lufa explains.
That's a weird scene.
I do love Superman. It takes Superman like 2 seconds. You're from an alternative universe, because Lufa's still in jail, and your organs are the wrong way around.
Yeah, he literally walks in and goes, the universe, fine, whatever, let's go. But you know what I did like about it is it meant we cut out a lot of exposition that's bogged some of the earlier films down for me, because some of them just spent so long telling origin stories again, or that it was kind of nice that even if I wasn't sure who all of the characters were supposed to be all of the time, it didn't really matter. It didn't change the plot.
No.
They're just additions if you know. Who everyone is.
Yeah. It's also the kind of like goofy Silver Age thing that you could see like Grant Morrison doing, where like his heart is on the wrong side, like everything's reversed because he's from a reverse universe. It's just goofy fun. I quite like that bit.
Yeah.
Even though Luthor isn't wearing pants for some reason. I don't know why that was a choice, but.
I suppose the idea is like, well, you can see I'm not hiding any weapons.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Don't do the joke, we're a non-explicit podcast. So anyway, so Luffa's on the satellite whilst it's being rebuilt, he hides something in the, it's the quantum trigger that we saw them take earlier, so he hides it in the station in kind of an obvious place, I would thought, just like, oh, behind a random cupboard.
It's right outside, like, one of them could just open the door and they could see exactly what he's doing. I don't know why, like, Luthor, like, the smartest man probably in the DC universe, is just hiding it, like, behind, like, a little cabinet. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
especially when, like, Superman's got x-ray vision. Like, he could just see what he's doing.
Yeah. So, the Justice League sons Batman, who decides he wants to stay and keep rebuilding. The Justice League go with Luthor into the alternative Earth.
Yep.
And they teleport immediately into a fight.
Yeah, it's just like... There's no setup for it. It's just like they just spawn in the middle of the room and then a fight just starts. Like, it's kind of admirable and just like how confident they are that like people just will like the action. It's like, yeah, we're just gonna cut right to it. Like,
yeah, you know, I really liked it. I think like it really is a sign of how someone who knows very little about it is just happy to go with the flow that I wish some of our other films would take on board. That this has always been a thing about comics reading and just about the nature of storytelling is that you don't need to know everyone's motivation. You just need to know they're going to fight.
Yeah.
And you can fill out some of the stuff with as the fight finishes.
Mm-hmm. It's quite well done. I think, like, kind of, it's got a good pace to it where you're not really bored and it moves along at a pretty brisk pace.
It definitely helps the pace. It's just, you know, it's really easy to tell who's good and who's bad and you just go with it from there.
Yeah. While we're on discussing the introduction of the league, though, what's everyone think of this voice cast? Because I think it's, I don't know, there's some interesting choices, particularly with Superman, who I don't really like the voice of.
Superman it's sounds just, super old.
Yeah, it's, version. I don't know, he doesn't sound super hopeful or optimistic. He just sounds a little bit, I don't know.
He sounds a bit off. Middle manager.
Because it's Mark Harmon, who's a... I think this is the only time he's played.
He was
Superman,
Airwolf? Was he Airwolf?
I believe so.
Okay. Like, yeah, he sounded very much like it. He said he did make him sound very sort of military boring.
Yeah.
He was just, yeah, I mean, like, he just, there was no sort of kindness to the tone, I guess.
No. And there were some lines that I really like from him. Like, a lot of, like, lines are quite Superman, but I just think the delivery kind of let it down a bit.
Yeah.
Who else?
I think everyone
Batman
else is pretty good,
fine.
Though.
Yeah, everyone yeah. was
great. Like, Josh Keaton's pretty fun as Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was sweet. He was sweet.
But for the most part, they all just kind of feel like they're just aping what the DCAU cast did. Like, they all just... especially Martian Manhunter, which basically just sounds like Martian Manhunter from the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah, that he did sound... like that's all I thought. Is, oh, he sounds like the one I've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
I think William Baldwin was quite good as Batman.
Yeah, again, like an older sounding voice, but I think has worked a lot better.
Yeah. It's probably an easier one to do, to be honest. But
yeah.
It is weird hearing someone other than Kevin Conroy, because I think this is only the second or third time, maybe, that it's not been Kevin Conroy. Actually, no, it might be the first time. No, there have been a couple times. But anyway...
fighting happens.
Yes, fighting happens. Some quite good fighting. It starts in the Justice League Tower, or Justice League, their satellite.
Yeah.
Then
which is less of like a satellite and more like a big floating fortress.
Yep.
But, it's odd location. That's cool.
And then it takes off and there's a battle in the air.
Mm-hmm. I think I should just talk about all the made men. I think like all the choices of the different characters that they have are all quite fun. So this first fight you've got, I think there's like the analogs for Gypsy, and I think there's Black Lightning and Katana. Like, you just like Elongated Man has a pretty fun bit with Flash. Like they're all used pretty well, and it's fun seeing them.
Yeah,
all these different more obscure DC characters who are just kind of cannon fodder.
Yes, absolutely. But which is always good fun. Like, I mean, when they're going to put the more obscure characters in, they almost always are as cannon fodder. Because it saves having to introduce them, but it is always nice to have that little nod to people who do know more about the universe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also some fun bits with, like, Looker, who, like, tries to, like, Jedi Mind Trick Flash. That bit's pretty great. It's just like, hey, you're trying a Jedi Mind Trick.
I like that they actually like call it Jedi Mind. Like they go straight in and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Jedi Mind Trick. Like, is
that... I'm not trying to Jedi Mind Trick you. And what's a Jedi?
Would have been funnier if Mark Hamill was in it.
Oh, yeah. You know? I didn't even think of that. Like, what if I didn't have Star Wars in this universe? Yeah. The reference is completely falls flat.
Yeah.
Which would have been funny, but, like, again, it would have taken out of the action, so...
Yeah.
No, they're just, like, brief little bits of, kind of, comedy and...
Then people would have complained it was too much like the MCU or something.
Yeah.
Brief bit of comedy,
to be fair, not allowed. The MCU had barely... At this point, the MCU was, like... 2010's when it... No, and I don't even think 4 was out at this point, so it was kind of...
It was just a glimmer in everyone. Really, everyone thought it wasn't going to work at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, like, I remember coming out of Iron Man and going, holy hell, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then, so you got to remember,
$1 billion later.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have to remember, like, that first thing, you're like, it's never going to, they're never going to be able to do that many films that are all going to do well enough for them to bring the Avengers together. Mm-hmm. And they did. And, like, you know, that's why everyone, like, recognizes it for the thing it is, but I was just being snarky about the people complaining about humor in films.
Yeah. Justice League are able to overcome the odds and
escape pretty much. Even though, like, yeah, they kind of talk about how they're winning, but they're going to get quickly outnumbered.
Yeah, so they managed to escape in an invisible jet. I wonder what this is the origins for.
Yeah, so that's quite interesting because it's the exact same design for the invisible jet that is used in the DCAU, because that's only first seen in Justice League Unlimited. So this was supposed to be the introduction of that, and then that would kind of, when it shows up in Justice League Unlimited, people would be like, oh, I know where that's from. But that's not really what it is anymore. It's just kind of a fun Easter egg, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think the idea that they have to escape because reinforcements are coming is a good way to kind of divide up the fight into changing it to a different arena where it's kind of split into kind of they're all fighting inside and they all go and fight outside in the air. I think that's a kind of a good way to kind of build on it and keep it still tense but kind of change up the location.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and like just the way they use like the clouds and stuff in the fight was really cool as well.
Absolutely. We then get a boardroom meeting by the crime syndicate.
Yep.
Where it's
all these glorious cheesy crime syndicate guys.
It is. So you've got the mafia boss Ultraman kind of keeping everyone in line. It's clear that they're a bit less friendly than the Justice League
to each other. They don't really get on.
No.
But I like the idea that, like, in the DC universe, you know, the kind of the main universe that we're familiar with, they're all superheroes of their own kind of individual cities and patrols and stuff. You know, they've got their own kind of separate worlds and they come together to fight bigger threats. But for this, they're all, like, doing their own individual criminal operations and they come together to do, like, I don't know, rob on a larger scale, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they've got an opportunity and they take it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also kind of a fun spin on like the Silver Age crime syndicate who just ran around like stealing from banks and stuff.
Which is great. I mean, if you're called a crime syndicate, that's really what you should do.
Yeah.
Like, crime. Like not trying necessarily take over the world, but just crime. Yeah.
Which is more what the Justice Lords did. So again, a difference between them.
So
I approve of them.
One of the reasons that they haven't taken over the world is because the nuclear threat still exists. Because in this universe, Superman hasn't destroyed all the world's nukes.
Has he done that in the other world?
He did that in... do you not remember the Justice League?
Oh, but I assume that these things don't carry over. Okay, so they carry over.
They don't, really.
It's just a gag. It was just a joke. Okay, fine.
Okay, no, I'm just get confused. Don't make jokes when I don't understand these things. Okay, I'm with it now.
We're with it. So, Owlman is making a doomsday device.
Yeah. At this point, it's just, like, they think it's to blackmail, like, the entire Earth. Which is kind of stupid, because, like, I don't think anyone would ever buy that. Like, let us control your government or we'll kill everyone. Like, it's just a wild thing that, like, I can't see anyone ever believing that, like, they'll fulfill what they're saying they'll do. Like, surely everyone will call them out on their bluff.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, Ultraman seems like he genuinely wants to blackmail him and think it's a good idea. Whereas, like, Owlman is like, no, we should, like, just kill everyone.
Owlman is proper evil.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's... You get the impression that Ultraman is just in it for profit, whilst Owlman actively is an actual evil
villain.
Mm-hmm.
He also... He just reminds me of the Owl from Watchmen more than Batman. So I keep getting around this little, like, oh.
Yeah, kind of a similar design. But I mean, a great design.
It's definitely a mix of the two. It is a really good design. I really like it.
I think all the designs are really good, but Owlman specifically is, like, the best design the character has ever had. Like, it's just, like, his beady little white eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, like, so emotional.
I didn't like that Harley was a monkey.
Well,
that was a weird choice.
We'll get to that, because that's before we do that, we do get an establishment of Rose Wilson as a person, and she exists, and she doesn't like the crime syndicate.
She's having a very small press conference with like a dozen people.
We then go to...
Also, Simon Stagg is in there. It's a fun reference. One of the guys in the crowd looks to be Simon Stagg.
Awesome.
Who was involved in Metamorphos. Origin.
I don't even know who that is.
He's like some guy who owns some big corporation.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those types.
One of those.
Simon doesn't.
Simon Stagg is he pops up now and again. He pops up in some in the CW shows. He pops up in one of the Arkham games.
He was in Arkham Knight. Yeah.
I've watched those. Oh,
yeah, he was in Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I watched the CW.
Oh, the CW?
He shows up in the first series of Flash.
Oh, I'm not going to remember. That's a long time ago. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm old.
I have memory stuff.
But I think he's one of the people that gets killed by Reverse Flash.
Okay.
That's
right. So, the Justice League then go to the Jester's stockroom, where we meet Harley the Monkey.
It's not good. I mean, there's no look in which that's good.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's weird.
It's strange.
I mean, it's just...
There's just something inherently weird about it. Like, you know, like, you can't... I mean, yes, it could be worse. Like, but it's still...
Especially since, like, the monkey never comes up again. Part of the joke. That's going to change very quickly, but until it changes, that's what's going to happen, is there's always going to be, like, every time Harley's in something, it's as a joke, it's as a...
Yeah, but this just feels like a particularly, like, offbeat joke. I don't know, it didn't work for me.
No.
So...
Yeah, it's so brief and like it never comes up again.
Yeah, and it's like you could have picked almost anything. Like if you picked a parrot or something, like, you know, like, because at least parrots could like say some of her catchphrases.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just then trying to think of less mean-spirited things to have someone than as a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but anyway, it was very brief, so it was just a little sit up and what. Moment for me.
Yeah.
It sounds like Lex Luthor seems to think that he's going to have the Justice League for. It must be like weeks, months, or years where he's going to go, and we'll slowly take out operations one by one.
Yeah.
No, it's let lame Lex. We're just going to like hit him all at once because this movie needs to be just over an hour.
Yeah.
I like the introduction of all the different made men as well, how they've kind of got all their. Or their underlings. A lot of funny Easter eggs in there. Like, looks at, like, Blue Beetle, kind of versions of Blue Beetle and Hawkman or Dr. Fate and stuff. It's cool. Yeah, Lobo is really fun. he's like, works on the docks and stuff.
Yeah, that was probably the best Lobo.
Yeah.
Me.
Pretty fun.
Low-key Lobo.
I prefer low-key Lobo.
Did you know that Stan Lee, I don't know if it's actually true, but he said that his favorite DC character was Lobo.
It's weird, but it's
bizarre to me.
It's very bizarre to me, but it's kind of like, okay, Stan.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like he's joking, but I'm like, it's just such a weird choice.
It's such a weird choice.
So, yeah. Meanwhile,
maybe who created Lobo? Was he not created by anyone? Right, so none of his. Yeah, you see, so nobody the stand didn't like, so presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start conspiracy theories.
So, meanwhile, we get a scene with Owlman and Superwoman where we establish, one, Owlman is not planning to take over this world. Two, Superwoman and Owlman's a thing.
Yep.
And three, that we have a second device that can jump between worlds. And Owlman has made it, and it's apparently better than the one Lex has.
Yeah, of course.
It's not explained how it's better. It's just like, I just made some improvements. I guess it's got a little beeping thing that points out what the MacGuffin thing is.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. The little energy
It's got a scanner, and they also, I don't know, maybe it allows them to actually see the Earth they're traveling to before it... Look, did Lex just randomly press a button and go, here, why not?
I think so, because it's implied that he's gone to other Earths and stuff. Like, there's a line where he says he's been to a different Earth before that one, I think. Like, he
maybe
didn't just go
just
straight
been
to
going
one.
Robbing banks in every year.
So
his explanation of the multiverse is kind of weird to me. I mean, like, that's how it would work in science, but, like, it would mean there were, like, billions of them. Like, billions upon billions of them.
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, I know. But, like, when do they come down to 52? Or is it just 52 that matter?
Well, 52 was after Crisis on Infinite Earths. So
okay.
That was when, like, there was one...
If I knew my orders, I'd be better.
Yeah.
Be asking
so before Crisis, there were Infinite Earths. Because, like, that was just an opportunity for creators to just do whatever they want. Like, okay, there's an Earth here, there's an Earth here. And then when they tried to simplify it, they just put it all into one Earth. They took the bits and pieces from a different Earth they liked and just condensed it. And then, like, when Grant Morrison and Geoff Johns and a bunch of people came in the 2000s, they're like, oh, no, we like the multiverse. They tried to bring it back. So then in 52, they, at the end, yeah, which is amazing. At the end, they reveal that, like, the multiverse is coming back. It's only just started with, like, 52 different Earths, which is expanded in multiversity, which is... incredible.
Yep. It is.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. I love all the multiverse stuff. Like, it's so fun.
I just find it really hard to remember what order they all came in.
Yeah.
Especially when they're all called Crisis on this, Crisis on that.
It can be confusing, especially when a lot of them aren't even, like, related. Like,
if you didn't read them as they were coming out, like, it is really hard to just look at a list and know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They're all not really connected.
Yeah, life. Yeah.
I think Infinite Crisis is, like, the only one that's, like, a direct sequel to Crisis.
I did a Humble Bundle years ago with all of them in audiobook form.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it was really hard to work out what order to listen to them in.
Yeah.
And, like, even though I'd remember, I'd finish one and then I'd look up the next and I'd forget by the time I'd finished the next one, which one was the next one. Look, you can say the same about things like runs of the X-Men, so it's not peculiarly yeah. DC problem, it's a comics problem. But
yeah, I just think it's weird that they keep this Crisis kind of theme when it doesn't really seem like it's motivated at all. Like, they should just call an event something different. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's just like, people still buy it, you know?
Yeah, it's weird.
Absolutely. Sorry for that little sideline.
No, it's little fine. Sidebar.
So is it here where we move to Johnny Quick's operation on the docks?
Well, yeah, because I think they go Johnny Quick. So Johnny Quick and his army, which include Lobo, Archer, who's meant to be Green Arrow, and someone who's similar to Black Canary. So they're
who was dealt with in a hilarious fashion.
Yeah.
Like, just picked up and just dropped in the lake. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff like that, especially with Flash. I think Flash has, like, most of the fun kind of.
Which is probably how it should be.
Yeah. Like, that's one of the things I've always loved about Flash, is he kind of got the most creative ways to take down people. Like, it's yeah. super speed, which seems quite simple, but there's so many different ways that it's used.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we then have, after that, we then have Wonder Woman and Green Lantern take out a drug operation whilst Power Ring watches and says very little.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I thought, like, initially when I watched this, I was like, oh, is this going to be, like, a setup for, like, is this going to be a setup for...
scouting them out.
Like, is he like, against them, or is he going to betray the crime syndicate or something? But it's just, he's just kind of there watching. It's
yeah, weird. He's just there. I don't think they knew what to do with him particularly.
Yeah, he has the least out of... It's the same with Green Lantern as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe that's why they recycled Nolan North for both roles, because he doesn't... I think he has the least lines out of both of the teams, so they're just like, yeah, well, we'll just...
They don't seem to have a very good idea what to do.
No. He's just kind of like, oh, I'll just shoot lasers a bunch.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fight with, I don't know who it's supposed to be. Is it supposed to be Artemis or Wonder Girl or who Diana's
fighting? I have no idea. I thought it was Artemis, but I'm like the least person anyone should believe on that. So
It's an analog for
best, probably.
Yeah, it's an analog for a Themyscira at least, which is pretty clear. But like that fight is quite entertaining.
Yeah,
like there's quite a lot of kind of visceral momentum and stuff that's kind of carried through the animation. Like, it looks really good.
Yeah.
It's not quite well. Like, it's quite impactful. Like, when Diana gets, like, thrown down to the ground and, like, slams into the, like, the brick wall. Like, stuff like that, where, like, it kind of gives it an extra kind of kick that, like, makes it a lot more.
They are actually some very good fights imaging. In this.
Yeah, I think it's among the most well choreographed that these movies have ever had.
Absolutely. And we finally get Superman and Lex Luthor take on Jimmy Olsen and Ultraman.
I love this Jimmy Olsen bit, because he's even got the signal watch, which is, you know, like classic Silver Age Jimmy Olsen. He's got the signal watch whenever he needs help. But in this, it's he's just enforcing. He just calls Ultraman whenever he needs help. Kind of like goofy multiverse stuff I love.
Yeah.
I remember watching this thing and, oh no, Rebecca's going to be really annoyed because the.
I don't mind what they do to like alt universe ones.
Yeah, I think it works, especially when every character in this is like a like kind of twisted version of their main counterpart.
I mean,
where like
could they have had more Dick Graysons in this? Absolutely.
I have some good news, Rebecca. There's definitely some Dick Grayson in the next movie we're doing.
Hooray. Probably the only one he's in, right? Is the next.
Not the only one, no. He's in... Oh, you'll love this one. He's in Batman and Harley Quinn.
Oh, oh God.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, no, it gets worse. Trust me, it gets worse.
Wait, is Batman dating her? Like...
No.
No.
We're not going to say. Let's not tell her.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't really... I mean, I love Jimmy, but I don't feel as tied to him in things like this, so don't worry.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like in, like, BVS where he gets introduced and then immediately shot in the head or something.
Well, they didn't even need to name him in BVS. Like, don't get me angry.
I still can't believe that. I remember, like, just watching that and being like, it's Jimmy Olsen. That's pretty cool. And then, like, he was killed and I was like, oh, okay, I guess it wasn't Jimmy Olsen. And then at the end, like, in the credits and stuff, I was like, wait, that was Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
So Lex Luthor has blue kryptonite and he's able to defeat Ultraman.
Hooray.
Yeah, pretty easily actually. Like,
hooray! Movie over, there we go. All done.
I love how when they arrest Ultraman he kind of just chucks the kryptonite into the back of the van. that'll keep him. Like, that seems not safe at all. Like, he could see that he could easily break out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be able to.
So, nope. But he doesn't have to, because the president, Slade Wilson, goes,
oh, yeah.
Nope, we're releasing him. Why?
Because, I mean, everyone's scared of him. I do get the rationale, but I think this is one of the things where the movie kind of falls short for me. is in like the kind of the fear of the populace. Mm-hmm. Like they constantly talk about how like, oh, everyone's so afraid of all the of the crime syndicate and all these metahumans and stuff. But it's mostly just kind of told to us, like you don't get, like there's a payoff for it at the end, but it's not properly really shown throughout. It's just kind of, you kind of have to like listen to the president and take his word for it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really seem like all these people are like really oppressed, which is something they do better in the Justice Lords episode, where you get people like Lois Lane kind of being like, oh, we've got like curfews and stuff where we're going to have to stay inside and do everything they say.
The scene where the two Batmen go out and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was great.
And Bruce is being super snarky and like, oh, wow, so mom sassy. And dad would be so proud.
So proud of you. Yeah. Yeah, like, stuff like that, I think, is what this was missing. Like, the parallel universe, well, it has a bunch of fun characters and stuff. It feels less like an actual world. It's kind of more of just, like, a setting for the characters to, like, fight in and, you know, stuff to happen.
Yeah.
Rather than it as like an actual living, breathing place where we get to see the people.
A few things that happen, which is one, Owlman explains, oh no, I'm not just going to blow up this world, I'm going to blow up all worlds, everywhere.
All
I'm
worlds,
going to destroy reality.
Because why not? Because from his point of view, like nothing matters if there's infinite versions of everybody, like choices don't really matter, which is like... the ultimate, like, thing you see a lot now, especially stuff like Rick and Morty.
Yep.
But Owlman did it first.
Yep.
But it is quite a compelling setup for a for this conflict. I think it is a pretty interesting motivation, and it makes him a quite a compelling character. Where like he is like crazy, obviously, and he's like pretty terrifying, but he has like kind of beliefs that he like. Genuinely believes in, and like that is compelling.
Thing he can actually do that matters and actually impacts the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, he's a very interesting character.
So whilst he's looking for Earth Prime, Ultraman shows up and threatens Slade Wilson, and then goes, "Oh, and by the way, we're developing a bomb, so." Your nuke's not going to work anymore. And Owlman goes, oh, by the way, I found the quantum trigger. Go get it.
So she tells Superwoman to go and just pick it up, basically.
Yeah, so we get Superwoman attacking the Justice League base.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
Batman...
is what I love. I love this whole bit on the satellite.
Yeah. Batman has to really stop himself saying, get away from here, you female dog.
it's so obviously a power loader from Aliens. Like, they're not even trying to hide it. Like, it's pretty much exactly what that design is.
Yeah, it's great, though.
Like, I appreciate how they're just able to just throw that in there and just not care in the slightest, even try and, like, change the design. They're like, oh, yeah, this is Aliens.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it is cool, though.
It looked cool, and why not, you know?
Yeah. Buys him a bit of time when he gets to call on everyone else.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, as you mentioned, Batman does call everyone. So he calls in Red Tornado, who I think this is the first time we've seen him.
Yeah.
Aquaman, Black Lightning, Firestorm, which I think was the first time we've seen him, and Black Canary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't talked about the Marvels actually. They're fun. I think they're some of the most fun kind of made men in this. They're kind of the villains that are here with Superwoman. So you got like Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr.
And baby
like
Marvels.
Uncle Marvel.
That's Shazam to people who don't.
Oh yeah, sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm being a dick. I find it hard to like because I've read a few of their comics. And I really enjoyed them, but I find the naming weird as well. I'm like, I don't know, it's such a comic-y thing. Is like, people should all have more distinct names. Like, there shouldn't be Captain Marvel Jr. Like, it's just, it's determined to confuse me. But I like them a lot, so it's fine.
The whole idea was like, it was kind of like a family. So it's kind of fun in that kind of whimsical way where they've all
I mean, I give them a lot of a hand wave because it is really sweet and I enjoy them a lot. So
I think one thing that's dumb though is that for Captain for Freddy, to, who is Captain Marvel Jr., to transform into Captain Marvel Jr. He says Captain Marvel and not Shazam because he gets his powers from Captain Marvel. But Mary Marvel gets still says Shazam because she gets her powers from different gods. She gets like female gods, but you know, to complete the acronym, which is very 40s.
It is, and like you know, like that's why I don't get offended at stuff like that. Who cares? But Harley is
it
a
has
dog.
Its charm.
Yeah. I mean, Harley is a monkey. Yeah.
Not so good. But I think the choices of the characters here is quite interesting. They're all kind of a lot of them are very reminiscent of like the satellite era, which is like in the 70s when like the Justice League was kind of being written by guys like Jerry Conway and Len Wein and stuff. So like Firestorm and Red Tornado and Black Canary in particular were used a lot then. That kind of feels quite motivated. But when this was going to be the DCAU version, these were all going to be characters that Batman had met previously. So it was probably going to be like, so Black Lightning would have been Static Shock, or like Black Canary was probably going to be like Zatanna or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been like really cool.
That would have.
Yeah. Didn't get that. Yeah. So that was supposed to be like kind of like the setup for Justice League Unlimited, where they're like, we've just got, you know, unlimited superheroes basically. Yep. They've just got a bunch more characters now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just got a handful here just coming. I guess they were just waiting to be called in. It's just kind of funny. They all just like show up and they're just ready to fight. Like, no questions asked.
So.
I do really enjoy this fight, but. As a massive Aquaman fan, it's got probably the bit I like the least in this movie. Oh, one of the bits I like the least in this movie is the bit where Aquaman's fighting Captain Marvel, like the version of Captain Marvel, and Batman's like, careful, Aquaman, they're stronger than you are. And then he just does like a quick 1-2 punch, and then Black Lightning just takes him out. Like, it's just, come on. Like, did you need that line?
it was, bless Aquaman.
I think there is a lot of overcompensation for trying to make Aquaman cool by like, well, look how awesome he is. Look like, especially with like the kind of versions you get a lot.
And all they had to do was make him Jason Momoa. I mean, that's
yeah.
Still didn't work for me, but yeah, it got some of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but yeah, I just think like this bit was just like, oh come on.
Absolutely.
But it's also like I will just say this thing. I did actually quite enjoy the film Aquaman, so I'm just teasing that. But like, they should stop trying to make them all cool. Is probably like, you know.
Well, I think
also what's cool changes every 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And like, so maybe they should realize that what's lasted 60 odd years in comics isn't always bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel that way about Superman.
I agree with you on the Aquaman movie because I did not like Momoa's Aquaman in Justice League. I thought he was like overcompensating.
Oh,
look how awesome he is. He's like throwing bottles into the ocean and walking along like.
I just came out of Justice League and the Aquaman film. One, not sure what his powers really were.
Yeah.
Because being able to lift an entire battleship out of the ocean or whatever is, I thought beyond him, but apparently not.
No.
And I really like it was kind of like Shazam. I really like huge chunks of it, and then it lost me at certain points. So, but they're all like, none of them was you know. I think there's a lot of hope in the DC films, and I would happily watch every single one that's been announced. So,
I think they're finally gonna.
Please don't take this as me dissing them because I'm not. I just like their characters. Yeah. I don't know as well. Yeah. So it's easier for me to pick up problems for me.
Well, whilst this is happening, Rose Wilson is saved from an assassination attempt by Red Arrow, by Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Martian Manhunter literally drives Archer insane.
I quite enjoy this bit. I love how he just lets the arrows hit him. Like, he doesn't even try to, like, phase through them. He just kind of, like, it just hit him and, like, just plop in. Like, there's no, doesn't really seem to care at all.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
So. Yeah,
and you kind of get the setup for the Rose Wilson Martian Manhunter relationship thing, which is.
Yeah, which is quite sweet. It's done quite nicely.
I think it's kind of weird. I think it needs to be, I think it needed to be given a lot more time than it.
Probably, but I guess I've seen some worse stuff.
That's true. Certainly not the worst example of underdeveloped characters' relationships.
Yeah, what was the other one that where Martian Manhunter was dating someone in one of these films? That was very quick. I don't know. I can't remember where. It was like, it was one of the ones I didn't like.
He got married in Justice League Unlimited. At like the end of the show, he ends up like getting married because he's away for like most of a season, and then he comes back for like season finale.
Why not? That's awesome.
Yeah. That's all like off screen, so don't really kind of get what the stuff has here.
Yeah. So
we make you think like maybe the stuff that was here could have been a setup for what that how that character kind of went through Justice League Unlimited. But just theory.
Yep. But anyway, well maybe that's the solution. He was actually on another Earth. Now we then get Batman and Superman. What happens is that Superman gets the quantum trigger, goes to go back to her Earth, and as that happens, Batman jumps in with her.
Mm-hmm.
So Batman gets stuck in Superman's bedroom.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. Stuck.
And then so there's a fight between Superman and Batman, which it's already established Superwoman can give Superman a hard time, so how Batman's not liquid by the time we cut back to it.
She's toying with him. Like she's just really overconfident and like cocky, where she thinks that she can just take him really, really easily.
And she breaks one of his ribs.
Yeah, I love that bit though. That was like so brutal.
And so that is, which would be great if Batman had any influence on Batman at all.
Yeah.
He's not even affected by it.
He's just like, ow.
Ow,
okay,
that
and just go to the rest of the movie, fine. Well, that's comic books for you.
Yeah.
People just shrug off bullets and injuries like it's nothing.
But Batman is able to outsmart Superwoman. He throws what she thinks is a smoke bomb. She sucks all the smoke in and is like, oh, no, that wasn't smoke. That's anesthetic gas. Night-night.
Yeah.
Which is great funny. Bit.
Always great to see Batman with that cool rebreather kind of
mask.
That's always cool.
Because even Batman knows the importance of covering your face when there's dangerous things in the air.
It's true. Very
like
timely.
Wear a breather. Indeed.
For once, be like Batman.
Yeah,
not really something you say very often. Yeah. Unless you like look at those weird t-shirts where it's like if you could be yourself but unless you can be Batman, you know, like those shirts where it's Batman or whatever.
Do this unless you can be Batman. It's like
who would want to be Batman? Being Batman sucks. He's so sad all the time.
He's so sad. It's no reason.
So Batman confronts Luthor and basically goes, why did you just randomly hide this thing? I mean, couldn't you have, for instance, given it to Batman? There you go.
There's an easier solution.
Give it to Batman, he stays on this Earth, and then you know it's protected. Instead, he gets surprise attacked.
Yeah. I think it's implied that, like, he didn't quite know the Justice League and didn't kind of, like, know if he could trust them. But it is kind of not really properly explained. Like, it's just kind of, he just hit it and then, just because they needed to have an argument, I guess. I don't know. It makes sense from Luthor's point of view where, like, this is kind of his last hope, so he's just kind of taking precautions. But, yeah, it's kind of odd.
So, yeah. At this point, there is an indication of Superwoman goes, oh, you guys have no idea how big his plan is.
Yeah.
And we find out that the crime syndicate's base is on the moon.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course it's on
another another location of the Watchtower, which was in like the Morrison's JLA and stuff instead of in. And the satellite was on the moon.
Yep.
That's fine, not.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they're bringing Superwoman with them. Which they try to hand wave.
Why not, I guess. Yeah, I don't know why. I guess, like, yeah, just why
just
not?
Fill her full of that anesthetic gas, fill it so she'll be out for like 5 hours, and then go over. Anyway, as they arrive on the base to fight the crime syndicate, the the Doomsday device is armed.
They get the, what do you call it? The same than the limo with Martian Manhunter and Rose.
So I can have skipped over this, sorry.
Yeah. It's, all right. Yeah. It's an alright scene. It does kind of build a little bit more development between their relationship, but again.
It sort of, here is our two backstories. Here you go.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a bit of the Elmore Swamp Thing issue, where it's kind of, where Abby and Swamp Thing, like, both eat, like, some fruit thing, and they go on, like, this crazy trip. It's kind of very similar to that.
Cool. I don't know if I know it.
Yeah. It's a very good issue, but it's very weird.
So, we have the Justice League and Crime Syndicate battle each other. It's all fairly even and back and forth until... Superman gets broken free, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah, I don't know what they're expecting.
Yeah. And then eventually, Owlman realises, oh no, I found Earth Prime, so I'm off. Cheerio.
Just leaves everyone behind.
I mean, that's all he wants. Just wants.
I love how as soon as he leaves, everyone's just like... wait, what? Like, everyone just stops fighting for a second. It's just like, discuss what was happening.
There's almost this moment where you realise, oh no, Ultraman doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is this moment where, because what then happens is Batman goes, right, I need to go follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't, because reasons. And there's just this moment where the Crime Syndicate are just like, oh, wait a minute. If he destroys all universes, it includes this one. We'll help.
Yeah. Again, that's like just they're just self-centered criminals. Like, of course, that's their motivation for it. They're just we'll help you, but just because, like, we want to rob some more people.
Yeah. So, Lex says, oh, no, if a speedster vibrates, it will create a portal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And Batman goes, no, Flash, you're too slow. It needs to be Johnny Quick, who's quicker than you.
Which is quite funny, because, like, the scene just before, like, when Johnny and Flash are both fighting, like, Johnny's throwing all these little bits of pieces and stuff that were just broken, and then Flash is, like, whirling in a little tornado thing and building them, and, like, build it and gives it to him and stuff. Like, that little bit's great, but, like, it just kind of shows that Flash is clearly faster than Johnny.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, quicker on his feet and being able to do stuff like that faster. But again, that's something that we're going to find out more about later.
I mean, we already
maybe Batman wasn't telling the truth.
We already know that this Batman's not a good guy when he does the horrible thing of teleporting the Flash onto the station just so he can steal his pretzel.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best.
I do enjoy that bit. Also, like, Flash was just on, like, a tropical island somewhere.
Yeah,
like, on the screen, he's just like, in Hawaii or something. Yeah. I don't know where he is, but, like, why he's there, but it's just an interesting backdrop to animate, I guess.
Yeah.
So Johnny Quick vibrates, creates the portal. Batman jumps through.
Mm-hmm.
Why Batman couldn't have gone, well, now I can just get back, because once I'm back, you know, I can get back out. But anyway, so of course it's Batman that goes to confront Owlman, because...
of course.
Yeah.
He's the moneymaker.
Yeah.
So, we get...
But I do think it makes sense for Batman to be the one going, though, considering that Owlman is the main villain.
Yeah.
It makes it a more interesting fight. You can't just have, like, Superman just show up. It's just a really boring fight then.
Yeah.
So, we have a fight between Owlman and Batman as the bomb gets ready to blow.
Mm-hmm. Prime Earth was just pretty desolate and depressing. Yeah. Owlman mentions that it was kind of kicked out of its own orbit or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that, like, it's not really what you'd expect. Like, kind of going into this, you'd kind of think, like, Prime Earth would be kind of similar to a lot of the other Earths, considering that it was, you know, the originator of what all of these other... yeah. Ultimate parallel Earths have kind of become. But no, it's just kind of, it's very different from the others, which, you know, Owlman makes a point of.
Yeah. So, at first, Batman just can't get a movement. It's almost like Owlman has the exact same sets of skills, except he doesn't have the problem of killing.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
yeah. I enjoy how kind of while they're fighting as well, Owlman is kind of breaking down Bruce's like psychology and being like, why are you fighting? Like, you must have had some horrible trauma, or like you're doing this all out of revenge or guilt or something.
Yeah.
Or vengeance. Like, I enjoy that kind of dichotomy where he's kind of a bit more cold and analytical. Like, the whole conversation they have here, even before the fight, is just so good. Like, the bit where just before they fight, Alaman's like, oh, there are some versions of me you might find quite charming. Like, just stuff like that, which just gives him just so much character.
Oh, it is. Well, Owlman is probably actually, out of all of the Crime Syndicate, probably the mm-hmm. character with the most depth. Not that any of them particularly have a lot of depth.
Yeah. The Crime Syndicate have never really been about depth. They're more just kind of, you know, the mustache twirling. It's like that episode of Star Trek that people talk about where it's like Spock with the mustache. It's just that. They're just evil versions of the hero. Yeah,
the eyeliner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're fun in that way. Like, there's a charm to
them. They are. They're fun, and then it's not too sort of... Yeah, there is something fun about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Batman is eventually able to simultaneously rope Owlman to the bomb and then transport both the bomb and Owlman to the desolate mm-hmm. earth that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
That we're established exists.
Superwoman was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's a good kind of setup, kind of a good payoff to the setup that was kind of explained before when Superwoman was talking about different Earths that could span, could be sent to. So, like, kind of shows that he was kind of listening and being like, okay, I could send them to this one or whatever.
Which does mean, because Batman, I suppose the justification is, oh, Owlman could very easily escape this.
Yeah, so Owlman dies. Like, there's no doubting that. Like, he dies in the most like explosive way possible. Entire universe detonates. There's no way he could possibly get out of that.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's somewhat justified in the way that like he was wanting to die anyway, and yeah.
It's
like. But it's sort of like, this is stretching the definition of I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you.
Yeah, very much like that. Hey, we get the really cool line where he says it doesn't matter just before he dies.
Yeah.
So
that is actually the way to... I do like the fact that he's like, no, we'll stick to our principles. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total nihilist to the worms.
So
I think like there's a little bit of depth as well. Just before he says that, he kind of looks at like afraid. Well, not maybe not afraid, but like he's kind of just recoiling from the fact that he was just sent, you know, to like this frozen wasteland, and then he's kind of like composing himself and being like, yeah, well, it doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah. So after this, we have Batman goes back through the portal, and everyone's just sitting standing around, like just kind of going do 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 do. So
yeah, just twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah. And then as Batman gets out, he goes, okay, Johnny, you can stop now. And mm-hmm. Johnny Quick got old.
Yeah.
Yeah, really old.
Mm-hmm. I think this is supposed to be a reference to Crisis on Infinite Earths when, spoiler alert for like a comic from 1986, I think. So like, if you haven't read it, it's your fault. But, you know, like Barry Allen dies and kind of disintegrates and gets really old and turns into, like, a skeleton stuff. Which I think this is supposed to be kind of a reference to that. But yeah. It is a really cool moment where, like, Johnny's like, oh, you knew that this was going to happen, and then Batman just doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Batman kills Johnny Quick. Like, okay, you can maybe argue Owlman, but no.
I don't.
This is straight out kill. He knew that he was
Know if it's kill. Like, he chose to do it, like, he seemed up for it, and, like, someone had to do it, and it was either going to be Johnny or Wally, and, like, Batman could basically choose which one was going to die. Like, it wasn't really in his, it was out of his hands. So, yeah, I guess it's killing, but it's not, like, you really had any other choice.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was directly his decision.
But he could.
He was just kind of like explaining it.
It's like not even like even just going. You do realize if you do this, there's no going back, or like.
Yeah.
I suppose the argument.
But then again,
if they'd known that, Wally would have been the one to do it because Johnny Quick would have refused. Yeah. If he'd figured it.
True.
So yeah, I suppose that's the. So. After this,
that's Batman getting tipped ahead.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, after this, Ultraman, Power Ring, and Superwoman are still ready to fight, even though they're now outnumbered.
Yeah. And it's pretty far. We're just like, oh yeah, we're not done yet. Like, we just wanted to save our world, but like, we're still going to be fighting you.
And then, unfortunately, a Martian Manhunter, the Marines, and the President show up.
Yeah.
In space tanks.
It's pretty funny.
Like, it's great.
Like in these kind of spacesuits. But yeah, it is kind of a payoff to that idea that humans kind of are scared of the crime syndicate and are afraid to do anything and stuff. And this is kind of a good completion of that arc for like the human race, I guess. But yeah, again, I don't think that idea was properly kind of
fleshed out.
You've got a 75-minute movie is you don't really have time for subplots.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So doing it in a simple idea where they just kind of establish that they're scared of them and then they come and pull together and beat them at the end. It makes sense and it works. But also it's just kind of redundant. Like, you had the Justice League there, like the entire Justice League. There's literally no reason for the military to be there.
Yeah.
Especially the president. Like, imagine, like, the president personally showing up in a tank to, like, to arrest some criminals.
I mean,
like, the idea is just...
I mean, he could have at least gone, I'm sorry, I've got bone spurs. Anyway, the Justice League are thanked by the president. Martian Manhunter decides, no, I must still leave, even though I've found my one and only...
I mean, I guess. It doesn't really feel like it, though. Again, I don't know if that was entirely earned, but, you know, for the runtime, it works.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, no, I'm sure there'll be a alternative version of Lara. Well, there is. She shows up in some of the movies. But So the Justice League return, apparently with the invisible jet...
Yeah, I don't know how that got there. Like, it's just in the hangar in the watchtower. It's not explained how it got there. It's just kind of there.
Which, so we've now had two separate origins for the invisible jet so far.
I think it's the same jet, right?
No, in terms of there's an invisible jet in the Wonder Woman movie as well.
Oh, right, yep, okay. Yep, gotcha.
So we actually have more origin stories for Wonder Woman's jet than we have for Wonder Woman.
That is true. Yeah. There's also another fun Justice League reference here with Green Lantern talking about Flash's car, which would make more sense if this was John Stewart, because in the Justice League cartoon, there was, like, Flash had, like, a van that he had, and John Stewart was, like, really disgusted by it.
Yep.
But in this, it's Hal, so it doesn't really make sense. But, you know, it's just a fun
line. That's one other thing I just realised. Yeah, that's the only change to the Justice League, is it's Hal Jordan instead of John Stewart.
Yeah. And that there's only six of them and not seven. Because, you know, the League is traditionally seven. But at this point, Hawkgirl had left the team because of all the stuff that happened at the end of Justice League, where she kind of betrayed them and left the team and stuff. So, yeah. This was supposed to be them kind of moving on and getting the team, which you see in the final scene where they meet up with the new League members.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's... You want to be very careful having superhero teams of seven.
yeah. I feel like the kind of evil versions of the Justice League is kind of poignant now and, like, talked about a lot more, especially with, like, stuff like The Boys, you know?
Yeah.
Which is the... There's someone who's in... Isn't The Boys is the biggest launch Amazon's ever had? Amazon Prime.
Is it?
Something like that.
I mean, yeah. Well, The Boys season 2.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, season one was very well received, but also I mean, like, do we know the actual figures? I don't know. I mean, it's just like, every time Netflix says biggest ever, we don't know how that competes with mainstream channels.
I don't think they've given the exact figure, but they have said it's in the millions.
Well, of course it is. I mean, like, The Boys season one was incredibly well received. It's got an amazing cast. It's very well done.
And we're in a pandemic.
I mean, I watched the first three episodes, but it's I love season one, but it was just a bit much for me right now. So I'll probably go back and watch it at some point, but when I can binge the whole series. So
bit too depressing for this year.
Pardon?
Bit too depressing for this year.
I mean, introducing Stormfront right now was just that I just don't know if I can watch it right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I don't appreciate the ability of satire to throw these things up, but it's just been very, and I also, you have to understand, I work in following the news, so I'm reading this stuff day in, day out, and I've been watching a lot more sort of cheerful. There's a lot of TV that I would normally have watched straight away that I've had to put off.
I do wonder what percentage of people who are giving it one star because of the weekly schedule are also people who called for the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really stupid thing to, like, review bomb something over. But hey. When do they find out Mandalorian's going to be a weekly drop as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was in the UK, you know?
Imagine if they don't get a boy season three because they thought everyone hated it.
I think they've already signed on for
it. No, it's confirmed.
I think so, but like...
They're doing a spin-off as well.
Yeah, the spin-off is weird to me because like the whole thing is like a satire of...
Yeah, right. The spin-off does not seem to fulfill the satire.
No.
So it's going to be interesting. But I still think the team could do it very well. So I am not going to sit and diss on anything.
Maybe they see the New Mutants and what they'll do is they'll cast Anya Taylor-Joy as a racist character again.
I think in general, like, there's a lot of space for these things, you know, like Umbrella Academy, Doom Patrol have all like expanded the kind of weird side of comics as well. The Boys has expanded the satirical side. So we've got to the point where you don't have to watch all of them, or you don't have to love all of them.
You don't have to watch all of them. You can't watch all of them.
I mean, you can, people, we're in a pandemic.
It is a real golden age for like comic book storytelling on TV.
Just
last year you had stuff like Doom Patrol and Young Justice was back,
and then
like Watchmen,
you know. Watchmen winning the Emmys, and like each time we're getting the sort of slightly more nuanced approach to it, like where you can have fun ones and you can have like dark ones. It's just, for me personally, all of my TV has switched to like cooking shows and like Disney stuff. You know, like it's just, and it didn't happen straight away. Like through the summer, I was still watching the sort of edgier things. But as we're coming into the autumn and we're about to go in our second wave and things like that, I'm just like, The Boys can wait, like, you know, and I'm glad.
I mean,
it's doing
Bake
well
Off's back. Don't have I mean,
to watch. Bake Off back. It's just what I need. But like, no,
oh,
but,
do you
know,
get,
I mean, seriously,
do you get British
like,
Bake Off in New Zealand?
I love those things.
British Bake Off.
I don't think we have that.
Jordan's young. He's not found the delights of baking TV shows yet. You know, he has time. He's still like, excited about like, but you know, but you know, there's a lot of good stuff on, and I'll definitely watch The Boys season two. Like, I enjoyed the first three episodes enough. I just need a break from it. So I'm glad all of those things exist. But yes, it is quite funny to have the seven there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that brings an end to Crisis on Two Earths. I think we've all said we liked it.
Yeah, I feel like I rag on it a lot, despite saying this is my favorite. Of all these movies, like, I do have some issues with it, but like, it is just like really, really fun, and it's just a really well put together, well animated.
I think the best thing about it was like it made sense, like as a story. It was there was no awkward exposition.
Yeah.
The voice actors were all good enough, bar the, you know, like the weird Superman, but like they're generally very good. Production, the animation was good. Everything just, it came together that if I'd gone to pay to see that in a cinema, I would have come way happy, which I guess is like, that's kind of how I'm judging them, whether it's fair or not. Because some of them are very much TV ones, and you know, like, and that's fair enough.
Well, there's
like,
ones that are literally TV episodes, to be fair.
And I realise that I've been unnecessarily down on a lot of them. But a lot of that is
it's fine.
They just
it's good
haven't
to have...
come together as films for me, whereas like this one comes together as a film for me, and that's the big that's the big difference. I still didn't know the characters or the references or that, but at least I understood the story without needing to.
Yeah.
So we, as mentioned, we have Justice League Doom, which is effectively a sequel to this. That comes out 2 years later, and between times we have a few different films to come out, including our next episode, which is one of the movies I think we've both seen, Rebecca, which is Batman Under the Red Hood.
I have seen it. Yes. It was one of the first ones I watched.
Yeah. Probably the best out of all of these.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, actual quality and, like, writing and animation. Yeah. I think it's probably the best one.
And that one on Batman, is it Batman and Son or Batman versus whatever?
Well, there's Batman. There is a Batman versus Robin, and there is an adaptation of the Son of Batman as well.
Yeah, I think I've watched all of those.
That's right. Yeah, because Batman and Son was the comic by Grant Morrison, and they changed the name to Son of Batman.
Yeah, I think I watched all of those because that was just after I'd been persuaded to read all the Grant Morrison Batman. So I was quite, oh, let's go see what they did.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's the one that, because that's, we then have the kind of, we're starting to get towards the phase of the DC animated movie universe, the Sam Luiverse, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. We are getting towards that now. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us on the show today. It's been lovely to have you.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah, it's been good. It's been fun.
It has been really good,
You mentioned, because I did check before, you're not on a podcast.
I am not currently.
But
I have tried several times.
And they've all been good.
Yep.
They have. I've enjoyed doing all of them, but just hadn't really come up with an idea yet. But we've got an idea for one that should be coming up in the next few months or weeks or so. Nice. It's going to be called, Panel Almanac. So that'll be like every week we'll kind of talk about kind of going through comic history, and each week we'll look at a different issue or significant story from.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds kind of brilliant. Like definitely. Like when that's ready, send us a link because we will advertise it on, on the page. So
I'll be aware.
Also got another plug as well. I recently just got my first article for a series on a website called Comfort Food Comics.
Right. I was so happy that you got connected to that site. You are absolutely the person who should be writing for that site. So I haven't read it yet, but I'm so, so happy.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
But I slacked.
Doing an article series on John Ostrander's Suicide Squad run, which I adore. Yeah. Love to talk about that.
Awesome.
Well, thank you very much for joining us again, John. Do you have a Twitter account that you want people to follow? Or?
I do. I admit I am Jordan Zoned.
Okay. I'm at AJ Sharp 269.
And mine's Arbitrary Genius.
Or you can also follow...
Seems a bit smug.
Good handle.
There's also, you have that awesome account for Ozzy as well.
I have Give Ozzy Treats if you want to follow my cat.
And you can follow the podcast at DCAU Podcast, or you can email us at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come volunteer to guest.
Yes, please. We love guests. Thank you for listening to the DCAU Podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.